From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Boy, rarely is it easier to drive in Washington, D.C. than when you have a government snow day shutdown in the midst of a government shutdown. The streets are almost empty. Well, it's day 24, and are we closer to seeing the impasse over border security being resolved? We'll talk about that. But first, next Tuesday marks the 46th anniversary of the infamous Roe v. Wade decision. And a new poll shows that millennials are not where the new House majority is on the issue of abortion. North Carolina Congresswoman Virginia Fox is here on that story. And another district-level judge, this one in California, blocking the Trump administration's reversal of an Obama-era policy that tramples on religious freedom. We'll talk about that. Also, Time magazine in their cover image depicts the battle over the border wall between President Trump and newly minted House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Pastor Romero Pena of Christ the King Baptist Church in Waco, Texas, was on the border with the president last Thursday, and he's here on Washington Watch a little bit later. And the snowflake police. A troubling trend on university campuses. This one, University of Illinois is calling for students to report, and this is the police, report other students for so-called acts of intolerance and bias. What happens to the students who were turned in? Blair Nelson, a student at the University of Illinois and a campus reform reporter who broke this story, will be here with the answer. And then, on this Monday edition of Washington Watch, we'll be taking your phone calls. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. Okay. According to a new poll recently released by the pro-life group Students for Life, 93% of millennial-aged Americans do not subscribe to the official Democratic Party platform on abortion. Now, this survey by the Students for Life, their institute for pro-life advancement, found that only 7% of millennials surveyed supported taxpayer funding of abortions and abortions without any legal restrictions. Now, this contrasts with the stated position of the Democratic Party on the issue of abortion. Joining me to talk about this poll and its significance is Republican Congresswoman Virginia Fox from the 5th District of North Carolina, who serves as the chairwoman of the House Committee on Education and served as a House Committee chairwoman of the House Committee on Education and Workforce, now the ranking member. Congresswoman Fox, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much, Tony. It's always a delight to be with you. Isn't this good news?
It is. Does this surprise you at all?
A little bit. The very small number, the small percentage did. We've known for a long time that millennials have expressed pro-life positions, but I think seeing this number is an indication that we're going in the right direction in the country and that what we need to do is explain more and more the horrific things that happen during abortions and the use of taxpayer dollars to perform abortions, which we know the vast majority of Americans are opposed to. But this is a helpful and hopeful result of this from this survey.
I would have to think that the Democratic Party would be pondering the stated positions that they've taken. Let me just quote from the 2016 Democratic Party platform. Quote, "We believe that reproductive health is core to women's, men's, and young people's health and well-being. We will continue to stand up to Republican efforts to defund Planned Parenthood health centers, which provide critical health services to millions of people." They go on in the platform to essentially call for the repeal of the Hyde Amendment, which is the restriction of taxpayer funds for abortion. Now, Congresswoman Fox, I had the privilege of working with you on the Republican Party platform,
right,
which is the 180 degrees removed from this, respecting the sanctity of human life. It would appear that millennials are a lot closer to the Republicans when it comes to this issue of life than they are the Democrats.
Well, we know that we're a center-right country, Tony, and despite aberrations in the election process occasionally, such as what we saw last year, We know we're a center-right country and that people do honor many of the values held by the Republican Party. And let me say it was an honor for me to serve as co-chair of the platform committee and serve with so many wonderful people. And I think we came up, I said this in speeches on the floor, we came up with the most conservative platform ever for the Republican Party. And I can't tell you how proud I was to be a part of that effort. I'd never even served on the committee before, but then to serve as co-chair was such a great honor. But we're going to continue this in this session of Congress, despite what our colleagues on the left feel. If I could mention that we've had several pro-life bills already introduced, even though pro-life people are in the minority right now in the U.S. House, we're going to continue to fight for these values every step of the way. There's no going back as far as I'm concerned.
A few more aspects of this poll breaking down the numbers, Virginia. We see that 70% of those surveyed support limits on abortion, with 42% opposing abortion broadly, while 28% supported specific policies like parental notifications, limiting abortions later in pregnancy, and, of course, the halting of government funding of abortion. Now, we do know this about the millennials, that they are a very large portion of the population, but not necessarily motivated to vote. Is this a connection point between, as you said, center-right, we're a center-right country? Is this an issue that the Republicans might be able to build greater bridges to the upcoming generation of millennials?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, again, it's up to us to educate people as much as we possibly can on the differences in the platforms. The platforms, as you say, are so starkly different. On this issue of life, we're 180 degrees apart, and we need to do a much better job. I know we get criticized for not communicating as well. Frankly, we're better at telling the truth, I think, than those on the other side of the aisle. I think we are much more likely to be extraordinarily truthful and straightforward, whereas our friends on the other side of the aisle are often willing to generalize and nuance things. And it's a little bit of a burden, but it is the right burden, because as we know, the stark difference between right and wrong needs to be pointed out. And so often, the wrong is portrayed, again, in a nuanced way or in ways that are not honest and mislead people. And so I think the more that we can do to get the absolute truth out there to people, and you and I know there are absolute truths, and protecting innocent life, protecting life from conception to natural death is one of the things that we need to continue to promote, and I think need to make sure that millennials understand where Republicans are.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, on this snowy day in Washington, D.C. Actually, the sun is out. The streets are clearing now, so things will be back to normal, well, almost normal, tomorrow here in D.C. Talking with Congresswoman Virginia Fox of North Carolina. I want to switch gears. Another story, in fact, just breaking just moments ago. The injunction, a California judge enjoined a Trump administration policy which essentially protected religious freedom. This is another one of those policy issues that's clearly articulated in the two-party platforms. This has to do with the contraceptive mandate. This goes back to the more well-known case of the Hobby Lobby case, all the way to the Supreme Court. Well, the Trump administration, driven by a mandate essentially by the party to protect religious freedom, wanted to ensure that they had a rule in place that respected the religious convictions of employers when it came to contraceptives in the health care plans. That rule, which was adopted, has been enjoined by a district-level court judge in California. That injunction has been expanded nationwide. I mean, we're aggressively seeing these courts step in beyond the borders, really, of their jurisdiction and fight the Trump administration's attempts to reverse Obama-era policies.
You know, Tony, when I speak particularly to young people, I point out to them in the Constitution that there are 9 pages of responsibilities given to the Congress of the United States, about 4.5 pages in my little pocket copy of the Constitution. This is small. And then about a half a page given to the courts. And what we have in our country right now is the tail wagging the dog. It is really disturbing to see these regional courts having their cases applied all over the country. And as you know, they will go to a California court, they'll go to the Ninth Circuit, they'll go to whatever court they think will give them the ruling that they want, and then that gets applied all over the country. But protecting religious freedom is something I'm very proud that we have been seeing more activity on in the last few years. And as you say, Hobby Lobby is one of the more the more famous cases, the case of the gentleman, the baker.
Right.
But we have got to do more of this. We cannot allow people's religious freedom to be trampled on. The Constitution, the First Amendment to the Constitution, as I know you've probably said, I say it all the time, it starts out with freedom of protecting religion.
Right.
And if we allow these court rulings to stand, then that's as clear a violation of religious freedom as I can imagine. It says that, no, you cannot do that in the Constitution.
But this so clearly validates the president's focus on the courts, because conservative judges at a district level, we wouldn't want them, and they would not most likely issue an injunction that would go beyond the boundaries of their authority. As you said, a district, you know, this should cover, you know, maybe I think this district covers maybe 13 states or something short of that, not applying it to the whole country. But that's what we see increasingly. They venue shop for these liberal-leaning activist judges who will block the president in his policies. In most cases, it's simply undoing what the Obama administration did.
That's exactly right. And we know that undoing a lot of the rules and regulations is what we need to be doing. And by the way, the president says this often in his speeches about how well our economy is doing, that by virtue of the fact that we were able to roll back through the Congressional Review Act 14 bad rules
right.
by the Obama administration through the Congressional Review Act, which is
That's
the best
good.
Way to be able to do it, because we can then stop it from coming back.
Absolutely. Virginia, we got to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
it's
you,
always
Tony,
great to talk
and I
you.
Appreciate so much your leadership in the country. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you. Congresswoman Virginia Fox of North Carolina. All right, coming up next, Pastor Romero Pena of Christ the King Baptist Church in Waco was with the president on the border last week. He's here next.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy that inspire us from childhood, such as unicorns and the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being, from the Loch Ness Monster to big tax refunds. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. Since 1973, these abortion myths have grown a substantial foothold in developing a climate of fear, misinformation, and a culture of death in the United States. In FRC's new analysis, learn whether most Americans support abortion on demand, and if a fetus does in fact feel pain in the womb. Join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Monday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, a close advisor to the president, says he's been pushing the president to reopen the government for a few weeks to continue negotiating with Democrats over funding for a border wall before bypassing Congress and declaring a national emergency. We talked about that last week, about what would be required of a national emergency. Is it within the president's authority? And we clearly laid out that it was. This was all the discussion yesterday, Fox News Sunday. Lindsey Graham was having this discussion. He says if we can't get a deal at the end of 3 weeks, all bets are off. Look, I think this is very important. We've talked about this at length. I think the president is establishing the parameters by which he is going to deal with this new Democratic majority in the House that is not accustomed to having to negotiate with Republicans who are standing firmly on key principles like national security, border security. Could also be the issue of life. That could be next. Well, one of the president's, one of my fellow members of the kind of the informal Trump Faith Advisory Board, Pastor Romero Pena of Christ the King Baptist Church in Waco, Texas, was down on the border with the president last Thursday as the president saw firsthand what was taking place. Romero, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Great to be with you.
Well, I saw obviously you were there in the pictures with the president, and you sent me some as well. And I know the president very much respects your opinion on things. But you brought together there was a group of people there. What was your impression of the president's takeaway from his visit to the border?
Well, first, everyone was just extremely appreciative of President Trump taking the time to come to the border and see firsthand what's going on. It also was very, very clear that any honest person knows that we have a crisis there. And so when you stack up all the drugs, one simple bag with $362,000 in cash that was there as it was found, 50 caliber rifles, diamond-studded handguns, you know we have a crisis there. And so the fact that he was there to highlight it really shines a lot of light on the border crisis. And again, without him going, people just don't have the information that's needed to make an informed decision or to have an informed position on the subject.
Right. And you and I have actually worked on some of these border issues as it pertains to families, individuals. And one of the things, it appeared that the president, and I think rightfully so, was pivoting a little bit, although this is a national security issue, was talking about the implications this has for individuals, as we see so many women and children in particular that are trafficked across that border and brought into this country in many cases, to become sex workers against their will. I mean, there's a compassionate part of America, it would say we have to end this.
No, that's absolutely right. And again, as I said to the president there, Spanish-speaking pastors like myself and pastors on the border especially see firsthand the suffering that's taking place, especially by women and children. Even the rancher that was sitting to my left told the story before the meeting started of more than once how he has found a little girl on his ranch walking around completely in a daze, obviously having been sexually assaulted, not knowing where they are. They get them, clothe them, protect them, give them something to eat, turn them over to the authorities. People are brought across, they're abused, and they're told, although they're just across the border, yes, Houston, it's just about one more mile. And, of course, they're hours away by car from Houston. And they're just lied to. They have no idea where they are, completely disoriented. People die there. And so if you have a heart at all for human suffering, this has to stop. And the only reason this stuff is happening is because our borders are completely porous. They're open.
That's right.
And they need to be closed. We can shut this off.
Your sense from your talking with the president there, in fact, I was watching the video or watching the feed of your meeting there with the president from the vice president's office. I was in with the vice president discussing other matters with him as he was watching it. Your sense that the president's resolve here, what is his level of resolve when it comes to the border and the crisis there?
So my experience with him on the subject and here very recently is I cannot imagine that his resolve is it could be any stronger. It is absolute. He's not going to budge. He has, as we say, he set his face like a flint and he's very strong. He's not going to budge from doing what's right for the American people and, frankly, for the folks that are suffering, that are being extorted, abused, manipulated in this whole process. And it's all because we have a porous border. And my sense is that the president's not going to budge, that his resolve is very, very strong, and I can't imagine it being even any stronger than it is. It's very strong.
I get that same sense. Pastor Romero Pena, thank you so much for joining us. Great to talk with you, my friend.
Glad to do it. Thank you for all you do, Tony. God bless.
All right. Pastor Romero Pena, pastor of Christ the King Baptist Church in Waco, Texas. This is a big issue, and I am grateful that the president remains resolved here to resolve it. And I hope it comes to a quick resolution, because I'd like to see, you know, all aspects of the government functioning again. But this is a humanitarian crisis, and he's right to draw the line here. Number one, it is a national security issue. Number two, it is a human issue. Look, I've talked about this last week, but the number of people being abused, taken advantage of, brought across that border, demands we act. And I'm grateful the president is doing it. All right, when we come back, the snowflake police. The university campus is out of control. Now, telling students to report intolerance and bias to the bias task force. That's coming up next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy that inspire us from childhood, such as unicorns and the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being, from the Loch Ness Monster to big tax refunds. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. Since 1973, these abortion myths have grown a substantial foothold in developing a climate of fear, misinformation, and a culture of death in the United States. In FRC's new analysis, learn whether most Americans support abortion on demand, and if a fetus does in fact feel pain in the womb. Join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host, and I'm glad you are along this Monday afternoon. If you're listening and driving, well, keep your eyes on the road, but your ears on the radio. And if you happen to miss anything on your way home, you can catch it all later at the website, TonyPerkins.com. It's all archived right there. All right, this is one of those, I think disturbing is an understatement, but the University of Illinois police are encouraging students and community members to report acts of intolerance to the school's bias and assessment response team and let police know if they feel unsafe. Now, I'm getting these visions of a remodeled bread truck that you make this call, and all of a sudden the bias and assessment response team show up. Now, if someone files a complaint or gives a tip, like Crime Stoppers, to the bias and assessment response team, what happens to the individuals that are ratted out? What happens to them? Well, joining us to give us a ground-level perspective is Blair Nelson. He's the student at the University of Illinois and a campus reform reporter who kind of blew the cover on this story. Blair, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Now this is not, this is a real story. I mean, I'm thinking this is like the Babylon Bee or something. This is actually a real story.
Yeah, this is real. It's not fake at all.
Tell us, all right, what are people and students in particular being encouraged to report?
So they're being encouraged to report, sorry, my dog's barking. They're being encouraged to report anything that they may seem to find offensive in any way.
That
may
something that hurts their feelings?
Or hate. Yeah. So I've actually been reported a few times to it. And I got reported for some memes I posted in a public meme page that is related to our college.
So did the bread truck with the bias assessment response team show up at your door?
No. What they do is they send you an email saying that they want to meet with you and to schedule a meeting.
Okay. Did you go to the meeting?
Yeah, I did go to it.
And did they break out the rubber hoses, or what did they do?
So essentially, they did. Basically, they explain how you made the person feel bad. They claim that my so-called meme was a target on them as a person, and they just brought up how the individual who was offended was just so offended and that I should feel sorry and all this stuff.
Now, but there's some meat here to this, too. They can take further action, can they not?
Absolutely, yeah. So it's very vague about what they say, which I think it has to be vague legally. But some of the things they include are like educational conversations or like educational referrals. I have no idea what those are. And stuff like that. Like also, what's scary to me is that on this board are Dean of Students, which they're the ones who give out punishments to students and investigate student code violations.
Correct.
So the people I'm talking to at this meeting, they have the authority to give me punishments or kick me out or whatever they feel like they want to do.
Only
that, but they actually have a member of the University of Illinois Police on the board, a detective.
So have there been any cases yet where a student has been disciplined, removed from campus because of a statement that someone found to be intolerant?
I don't know. A lot of students' cases, they're protected by law.
So
I know I haven't been kicked out. So I wouldn't know. No, you wouldn't know.
I mean, this is pretty frightening when you think about it. It's chilling for free speech. I mean, we're talking about what they say in their the University of Illinois, their bias response team defines bias motivated instances as, quote, actions or expressions that are motivated at least in part by prejudice against or hostility toward a person or group because of that person's or group's actual or perceived age, disability, ability, status, ethnicity, gender, gender identity, expression, national origin, race, religion, spirituality, sexual orientation, socioeconomic class, etc., end quote. I mean, is there anything left out?
That's what their website says, but they do more than just that. For example, I'm involved with Turning Point USA and College Republicans. For events we've held, Bart has wanted to talk to us about that. So I think it goes beyond just that. I know according to the website, they claim that they go after like legitimate hateful incidents. But from what I've experienced is they go by incidents that makes other people feel uncomfortable.
So this is like the snowflake security force.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
So if anyone feels their feelings have been hurt, they can report someone and that person is hauled in and, given a thorough examination and read the Riot Act, it sounds like.
Yeah, also, it's not just students who are subjected to this as well. It's professors. So Bart, they publish all their incidents they've been reported to on their website. They haven't published last year's yet, but they're probably going to do that soon. But professors are subject to this as well, and some of the things that they've been subjected to is a poor joke, an untasteful joke, or they had a offensive sticker on their laptop.
We're up against the break, Blair. Got to go. But have people responded to your story? Are people outraged at what they hear is happening?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, we're going to track this. If there's any new developments, let us know. Blair Nelson with Campus Reform. All right, folks, don't go away. We're going to come back and take your phone calls. Are you outraged by this? Does this concern you, what's happening on college campuses?
The world on our horizon is like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy, from unicorns to the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. In FRC's analysis, 10 Myths on Abortion, join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to our other free resources, go to frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. I want to focus on this the last story we talked about. What do you think? Are the university campuses, I mean, are they beyond repair? I mean, this stuff is frightening when you think about it. Because what is happening on college campuses is really conditioning for what will be leading our country in another 15, 20 years. And so this is I was joking about the snowflake security force, but that's essentially what this is, where people believe they have a right not to have their feelings hurt. Now, if someone is inciting violence or there is this bullying that takes place that is leading to some type of action, then yeah, absolutely. I mean, we shouldn't tolerate that kind of stuff. But this is, if you're offended, there's no guarantee in the Constitution not to be offended. I mean, I turn on the television. I'm offended by that. A lot of the stuff I see. Walk down the street, there's things I see that offend me. But am I going to call the task force to come out and, drag somebody in? I mean, this is crazy. But this is where we are, and this is serious. And this is why it's so good to see college students pushing back on their college campuses and why we need to stand with them and support them when they do, as we've seen on other college campuses around the country where you've had young people that have stood up and pushed against this leftist agenda that is totalitarian in nature. And that's really kind of what is, pushing this, is that this is an effort to conform people to a very non-traditional, liberal way of viewpoint. It's the only way you can do it. Like, it doesn't happen naturally because people say, this is crazy. I got a sticker on my computer and somebody's offended by it. I've got an NRA bumper sticker, and somebody says, I feel intimidated by that. But that's the kind of stuff we're talking about here on the University of Illinois campus. 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Also, we can talk about we were talking about the border. Day 24, with the partial government shutdown. About a quarter of the government is shut down. I was going to say not working, but that wouldn't be accurate because even normally that, well, I won't go there. You think the president should hold his ground? Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer refusing to compromise. Should the president hold his ground? What do you think? 866-372-7234, the number to call to get in on the conversation this afternoon. You know, I'm going to go back and say again, I think the president is right to take the position that he's taken, and I think it's very important. It's important for a couple of reasons. We talked about the security issues. We talk about the humanitarian issues. Those are very important. But I also think it's very important that he hold the ground, establish these parameters in how he's going to deal with Nancy Pelosi, and that he's not going to give in every time they pitch a fit. This is the longest government shutdown, all right? We are now in uncharted territory, longest one, and it would, you know, it certainly makes sense that it would be under Donald Trump's administration because he does know how to negotiate. I think he's ultimately going to get what he wants, and that is security on the border, and that's what a majority of the Americans want as well. All right, we're going to go to the phones, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Illinois, where Denny is on the line. Denny, welcome to Washington Watch.
Mr. Snow, it's my pleasure to call. I truly enjoyed listening to you, and I was pretty appalled at the comments with respect to what the University of Illinois is doing. I've seen it coming for a long time. As a former, as an alumni there and a former Big Ten champion from the University of Illinois, even, you know, when they eliminated the Chief Illiniwek, as a mascot, you know, this is a slippery slope that's going crazy. And I think the way for the students there, the conservative students, to combat this issue would be to report as many liberal things that bug them as possible. Use the system against itself and see what happens.
That's good, Denny. You know, that's actually a really good suggestion. We don't tend to think that way because we don't, you know, when we're offended, we don't look to the government or look to some type of, you know, task force or response team to deal with it. We just handle it. We're not offended by it. We move on. But that's a good point. It's overwhelm them. I think that's a really good idea. Denny, thanks so much for listening. You know, that is a good idea. And so if you're on one of those college campuses and you've got these entities that are doing this, yeah, you know, just overwhelm them with, you know what, I was offended. I saw this, you know, I don't know, stop hunting bumper sticker, and I was offended because I like my venison. You know, whatever. It's similar to something we did with these activists who were targeting Christian wedding vendors, you know, forcing them to bake cakes, make flower, you know, put flower arrangements together. They were targeting, like they did Jack Phillips out in Colorado. And so one of the things we suggested is that you hang in they hang in their door, their window of their business, their establishment. That, you know, I forget the actual verbiage that we worked up, but something to this effect that, you know, look, we serve everybody, but we want you to know we believe marriage is a union of a man and a woman. And because we're forced by law to participate in every type of wedding, we will do it. But know this, that all proceeds from same-sex weddings will be dedicated to ministries that help people come out of the homosexual lifestyle. That put a stop to it pretty quick. So a little bit of a political jiu-jitsu move. All right, let's go to Bill in Houston, Texas. Bill, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Gosh, I appreciate you guys taking my call. I'm driving along here, and I heard the young man campus there in Illinois. And speaking of how he had made a statement, a comment, and it was his opinion, and he was not making a statement that certainly could have been considered a personal affront on anyone as far as it being taken personal. But it just occurred to me, you know, the fact that, you know, where's the line drawn between it being opinion and when it being something said, which is a personal affront on someone. It's a prejudice statement. You know, it's a shame that we can't have a difference of opinion, like you say, Tony. If we can't have an exchange of different concepts and ideas where we can talk together, then that's when things end. That's when things get different and we have totalitarianism that we're lost. We're lost.
Right.
And that's where the line is. That's where we've got to. People can be offended, like you say, but that's not anything that's been said that they could be offended by what I said. I didn't say anything personal about anyone, about their mother, their family, or the way they look or anything, but they can take it personal. Yeah, they can take it personal. But it's not. That's where the misnomer is. That's where the line needs to be drawn, and we need to have a battle line right there and get that clarified and straight, because that's not right. There is evil working in that mix right there, and they know it.
Well, and as you say, it's about basically shutting down speech, conforming people, totalitarianism, making people kind of march to the beat of their drum. And we go back, I go back to the Declaration of Independence. There are certain things we're guaranteed. In the preamble to the Declaration, you know, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. That means rights that pre-exist government. They're there. You can't take them away because they were given by government that can't be taken away. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Nowhere are you guaranteed the right not to be offended. Now, this is part of the problem when we get into these terms like hate speech. Now, what is hate speech? I mean, that's a very nebulous term, and it's the same type of terminology used here at the University of Illinois. If you're engaging in activity, language, you know, whatever communication it might be, but that incites violence towards people. That's hate speech. If you're physically or trying to incite physical attacks on people or efforts that would marginalize them in that sense, that's hate speech. But having a difference of opinion, as Bill points out, is not. And if we can't live in a society in which you can have differences of opinion, and they can be 180 degrees from each other. But to have that difference of opinion, have debates, absolutely. But respect one another as human beings and not want to shut down the other side because your feelings are hurt. And this is what leads leads to repression, which leads then to, you know, people cannot legitimately express themselves. They can't express their feelings. Now, some people will just suppress it. Others they'll look for another venue to do it. That's what leads to revolutions. So that's why I think it's very important in a republic that you have a free flow and exchange of ideas, even if they're different, even if there's disagreement. You have to be able to disagree and get along at the end of the day. If you can't, you will not maintain your republic. It won't happen. Bill, thanks so much for the call. Let's go to let's try to work another call here. Let's go to John in Tennessee. John, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks for taking my call. I was just going to make the comment that the hate speech, the being offended, to me, it's a bit of a straw man for control. They use these issues, but what they're looking for is a way to institute their ideologies, which are untenable in a logical world.
Yep.
So they can't win the argument. They've never been able to win it. They can throw in progressive slash socialist slash Denmark slash Venezuela, all these different things that they try to push down our throats. But what they have to do now is set the playing field where we are intimidated to step up and stand up.
You're absolutely right.
And it's a big issue. And so the colleges now, the indoctrination centers, and especially over the previous administration's 8 years, put so many people through that program, so many young minds, so misinformed. And these are voters today. And I had this issue with my son and his Brazilian wife. And we try to talk logically to them, and it's offensive. They can't sit down and have a logical discussion because they have no leg to stand on. Anyway, thanks.
You're absolutely right, John, and that's what the left is doing. They cannot win the debate based upon the merits of their ideas, and so they have to shut down the other side. It's the only way it's done. But long term, you cannot maintain a democratic or a constitutional republic, which is what we have, with that approach. You've got to be able to enter into that public arena, and we do that through elected representatives. And they aggressively debate the different viewpoints based upon the merits of those viewpoints. This is the way it's supposed to work. Based upon the merits of that ideology, that opinion, those facts. And then at the end of the day, we come out with what we would call a consensus. And that consensus then guides us forward as a country. That's a part of the reason that the courts are upsetting the way our country works is because they interject themselves before that consensus can be arrived at. A perfect example, you know, coming up next Tuesday, 46th anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision. 46 years after the court stepped into that, this issue is not resolved. They said they were going to resolve it. It's more of a political issue today than it was 46 years ago. Why? Because the American people have not been able, through the process that the founders put in place, to arrive at consensus. And the left knows it. And so they don't want those debates anymore. They want to shut down the other side. See, I am for defending the rights of those on the left to speak and to debate and to bring their ideas to the forefront. I'm not intimidated by those ideas. I think let the facts speak for themselves. But they're even going to the point where they're not even allowing the research to be done on many of these contentious issues because they know it's not backing them up. That's a dangerous place to be. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Folks, sorry we're out of time. Phone lines filled up. Sorry folks didn't get to the other calls. Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow night. I hope you will as well. Until then, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.